Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here, hour number two, right here on the grid, SiriusXM channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. It's Joe Ranieri, Donnie Wrightside here. Let's go over some NFL topics that have been popping up if you watch the games. And who didn't this past weekend? Devastating injury for Tony Pollard. He actually had tightrope surgery for an injury. Not actually the broken leg, but for the high ankle sprain. They say the leg will actually heal on its own. Not a great look for the offseason, but certainly better than an Achilles or an ACL, which brings up this topic here. The future of the Dallas Cowboys at the running back position always seemed to be was trending towards Tony Pollard and also the amount that Zeke Elliott makes. Are both of those guys coming back to Dallas next year, or will this injury give pause to old Jerry Jones and say, I can't get rid of Zeke now? We're unsure about Tony Pollard.
No, I listen, you shouldn't have signed him when you did. You thought you couldn't win without him when he was holding out. Remember that? And then you ended up caving there and gave a running back that really was going to be on that wrong side of the curve. And it's been downhill ever since. But I think his reaction, Zeke's reaction and comments right after they lost there about, hey, I'd be willing to restructure. And he knows it's over. You're going to be able to go out and replace them. A running back, again, it's a position that just doesn't warrant the kind of money they gave Dak to, Zeke the first time around. It ain't going to happen another time around here. I think they'll just work on offensive linemen here, if the kid's got anything to do about it there. I think offensive line is going to be the main priority. And call me crazy, maybe it's time for a new OC voice in that place there, because it ain't working with Dak. I mean, the definition of insanity, Donnie, is what? Doing the same thing and expecting a different result, right? What do you think you're going to get here? So you can't get rid of Dak. Maybe it's time Kellen Moore moves on and maybe gets a job someplace else.
Yeah, legitimate chance, actually, Joe, that they actually move on from the offensive coordinator because he gets a head coaching job elsewhere. Same thing with Dan Quinn on the defensive side. So maybe some changes coming all the way around for the Dallas Cowboys. Changes in Green Bay. Restructuring contracts here. I love the talk. Maybe I'll step away. You take a look at a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers' mode. He could probably play in many cities here. And the fact that he's already talking about tweaking his contract means, guys, he's not leaving like $100 million in guarantees on the table. He will be back. So restructuring the contract for Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to ask you, Joe, back in Green Bay or moving on elsewhere?
Well, I think a lot of this has to do with how sold are they on Jordan Love being ready to take that next step, because that's what you drafted him for now. And what are we, three years into that since that time? So if not now, when? So I think if the organization is like, hey, and there were some, reports that they felt he is getting closer to being the guy in Green Bay. And if they continue to think that over the next couple of months, Donnie, then, listen, Aaron Rodgers is not going to make it easy and just retire for him. I could absolutely see them trading him and going to a different team, but it ain't going to be in the NFC. I'm sure it'll be an AFC team. But this all, to me, is dependent upon, is Jordan Love the next guy? Are they convinced? Are they ready? Because if they trade him, guess what? They believe that Jordan Love is ready to take the reins.
Yeah, this will be an interesting one to see how it plays out. I'm sure for the Packers and their fans and certainly front office, they're hoping for something sooner than later as a resolution one way or another. We'll see how that turns out. Let's welcome in the radio audience here. You're watching and listening live to the Early Line on a Wednesday morning. SiriusXM channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network, talking some NFL topics and none bigger right now in the coaching search than Sean Payton. He's taken interviews, secondary interviews, hasn't been hired yet because one of those caveats there is not actually how much you're going to pay Sean Payton himself, how much you're going to pay the New Orleans Saints in draft compensation to get Sean Payton. But I always find this interesting. As you know, we see the Denver Broncos, the Houston Texans, maybe the Carolina Panthers, but then we get this report, Joe. Another team could join the mix for Sean Payton if they get their ducks in a row. The mystery Scott Boras team in there. What are we looking at with Sean Payton here? Where do you think he winds up?
Well, the leverage is really with Sean, isn't it? Because it depends on what he wants. And I think more than anything else, what kind of control does he want? And how much say does he want? And does he believe, is he ready to go into this and say, all right, I got to build something from scratch? Is he going to be happy being, you know, stuck side by side with Russell Wilson on the wrong side of 30 here and declining? So while he got a second interview and that's all fine and dandy, I think this is really up to Sean Payton on whether or not he wants to build something in his own vision or if he wants a place that he thinks a couple of pieces here or there and we've got ourselves a championship quality team. It's going to be interesting to see where he lands. I'm not sold on Denver.
No, I agree with you there. And also, if he does go to Denver, you are inheriting Russell Wilson, which a year and a half ago, you're like, man, sign me up for that. This last year, let's say, okay, he's owed a lot of money. You already gave up a lot of draft compensation to get him. And you got to give up more draft compensation if you want Sean Payton, which will be returned back to the New Orleans Saints. It's going to be interesting, you're right, to see where he lands. But I always love the quote-unquote mystery team. And could that be Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys? They lose their offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, maybe their head coach on top of it all. College basketball on deck next. Top 25. Let's get after it. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two in full effect here. Talk some nice little NFL topics. And trust me, we're going to get back to the NFL with some really good stuff on the FanDuel Sportsbook a little bit later in the show. But let's turn it over now to college basketball tonight on a Wednesday. Big card, top 25 in action. And we're going to talk about Gamble Pavilion, Storrs, Connecticut tonight. Number 13 Xavier on the road to take on number 19 UConn. Now, before we get into the game itself and break it down, how about this? The FanDuel Sportsbook opened this game as Connecticut, a minus 7.5-point favorite. Now sits at 6.5, a healthy total also at 151.5. If we're lining this up here, obviously Xavier is a good basketball team. The same thing with UConn. But it did take me a little bit of a back to see that number so high. When you're taking a look, you know, dominance in the Big East, that's what Xavier does. UConn started out on fire. Not so much anymore at 5-5 now in the Big East. But how do we look at a game and approaching this? Because as we started off the show talking about the Big 12, it's really hard to win on the road. I get it. But take a look at this. Connecticut by close to 8 points. What do you think in this one, Joe?
Yeah, home court again, right? So, I mean, that's kind of what we're leaning towards here. I mean, UConn, like you mentioned, started off great non-conference, you know, tough non-conference schedule, ended up beating the snot out of a lot of teams, and then all of a sudden Big East conference play came, and oh boy, the wheels started falling off and going the other way. They did get back on track there in the last game, which was nice. Xavier also kind of had that same. I mean, they won its first seven conference games. I believe, one of the best starts in the program's history. Sean Miller, former Arizona and sneaker distributor, former Arizona coach there, has absolutely turned this program around. Zach Freemantle, love him, but they barely beat DePaul. So I get why UConn would be at home. I think UConn went through that lull here, and now all of a sudden they're back home, home cooking. I get UConn being the favorite here, but Xavier, I'm worried that Xavier might go through one of those now where maybe they got to lose a couple in order to come back strong there down the stretch. So it wouldn't shock me at all if UConn handles business here against Xavier.
It's a pretty fun matchup, too, because when you take a look at, you know, coming into conference play, Xavier's offense efficiency, number two in conference play, but UConn's defense is number three in efficiency. I always like some of these matchups, too, because Xavier likes to get to the line and score from the free throw line. But take a look at this, too. Connecticut's defense, there's 11 teams in the Big East. They're 11th in fouling, which is incredible. So maybe that's an advantage. But also, on the flip side, Xavier, number one in conference play at three-point percentage, Joe, 38.4%. But that goes up against UConn, number two in conference play at 26% at defending from behind the arc. And also, another thing I find interesting here, even though we take a look at Xavier, they picked their spots from three-point range, and rightfully so. 10th in conference play at volume from the three-point line. How about UConn? Number one at not even letting you shoot the three-point shot. So something to keep an eye on this one. And as we know,
and
also,
don't forget, they beat them, too. Xavier beat them the first go-around, right? So, I mean, they beat them. Xavier was home. They have, over the years, they have split this series. You know, home and the home team usually wins. That was an impressive win to beat UConn. That's what started their downfall. Could get ugly in this one here with UConn.
And also, from UConn's perspective also, they don't shoot a great percentage, about 33% from three-point range, but they're actually number one in point distribution at making the three-point shot, or what they use as their, you know, instead of going inside the arc or shooting from the free throw line. Usually the three-point shot is the ultimate decider. It's just interesting here that UConn seems to have that advantage on the matchup. We'll see if it plays out, but also from an odds-making perspective here, it looks like UConn certainly is getting the love here, apparently, from the odds makers. Let's move it down here. Let's go to Florida. Let's go to your neck of the woods here at this point. Houston, Central Florida. The reason we're bringing this game up, 9.5-point spread here for Houston on the road, a total of 127.5. We'll start here by going, bouncing back from a loss you did not anticipate. A 19-point favorite on your home court, you lose by one. Talk to me about Houston's mindset heading into UCF here on the road.
Well, Houston shot 19 of 56 against Temple there, 6 of 17 from three. They went of 11 of 21 from the free throw line in that loss. All of those things are obviously season worsts. They're also not at all indicative of what this Houston team is. They were not lucky to have that, what, 9-game winning streak there? This is a team that absolutely can bounce back from that situation there. Head to Florida here in Orlando, take on UCF and handle them. Now, I do believe they played already this year, and I believe, and I do think UCF 71-65. Here has had a little.
Yeah, Houston.
Yeah, and that was back in end of December. They all started like right at the end of December here. UConn Xavier was, I think, right at the end. So was this one here. I think this is a huge bounce back spot here for Houston. And I do think we're lucky this thing isn't, higher than if you can get under 10, Donnie. The Houston's not going to have back to back games in which it shoots 18%. So it's going to they're going to bounce back here and take it out on UCF.
It's interesting when you line it up, too, because when you go against a team like Houston, right, they're in bounce-back mode. They're going to be angry. The number one team in conference play on offensive efficiency by far is Houston. The number one team in on efficiency from defense is Houston, and by a wide margin. But the one thing that always pops up, which makes it interesting, again, both of these teams extremely slow tempo, which certainly is going to help UCF out. What do you typically do against a team that's locked down on defense? You got to get out and run, because by the time they set their defense up, good luck scoring in the half court. But the one thing I do think is kind of, you know, out there is UCF on offense, not a great three-point shooting team at only 33%, but 44% of their shots come from three-point range. And also, if you look at Houston, they're 11th in the conference at letting you shoot the three-point shot. It could be the ultimate equalizer, but again, unless you're out and running, you're not going to get those three-point shots here in the half-court set. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it plays out at that spot. But an interesting one nonetheless, where a team that's been so dominant dropped onto a team they should have beat. Let's see if they take it out on UCF. Double-digit win on the horizon. Yep. could be here. Georgia, Tennessee, SEC action tonight. Heavy favorite, -16.5 for the Tennessee Volunteers here. A total of 135. If you're trying to look at this one, Tennessee, 6-1 in the SEC. Georgia, 3-3. Are we setting up here for a blowout on old Rocky Top?
I mean, they have, it's been a one-sided rivalry of sorts here.
Yeah.
And I believe the last time Georgia's actually pulled off a victory here was back in 2018. They just dropped a close game against Vandy in which they were a favorite. And I thought, you know, I gave credit to Vanderbilt there, but Georgia, I had some high hopes for this team. They've played some really, really good basketball. They were kind of flying under the radar. They weren't given a whole lot of credit, but the reality is, boy, oh boy, this Tennessee team here is a different step up for Georgia. I mean, if you had trouble with Vandy, you're going to have a whole lot of trouble here with Tennessee. And it turned out to be a shootout in that Vandy game, but the defense of the Volunteers at home in this spot, I would approach this game, if you're not comfortable with laying the 16, 17 points here, I would look for the Georgia Bulldogs team total under because the Tennessee Volunteers are going to slow down this pace, number one, and number two, they're going to shut you down defensively and make life absolutely miserable. So I'd be looking towards that team total, back the Volunteers defensively at home against this Georgia squad.
14 teams in the SEC here. Tennessee in conference play, 11th at fouling, and Georgia actually number one in conference play at getting to the free throw line. That might be a way for them to keep it close, but you're right about this. Tennessee on offense, call them the triple threat here. Number one in conference play at three-point percentage, 36.5. Number one inside the arc at close to 57%. And number one, Joe, at the free throw line at 81% as a team. You got to be on your P's and Q's to knock out Georgia here. And now we are going to flip it over to some NFL action. A big weekend ahead. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Never too early to talk championship weekend football. And we're certainly going to do that right here on the early line. Hour number two in full effect. Joe Ranieri, Donnie right side here. Let's have some fun with the FanDuel Sportsbook here. Some intriguing bets come up. We'll see how many props we can get through in this segment. And then the following segment, of course, where do those lines actually line up? But let's do it here, Joe. How about this first one, this question I'm going to ask you? The highest scoring game of the weekend. Now, typically, weeks 1 through 18, we go through this and like, hey, man, this is so many options. 15, 16 games on the docket. Now, look, there's only two games here. So we're not going to get any lottery prices here at this point. The Bengals and the Chiefs, -125 to be the highest scoring game of the week. The Philadelphia Eagles and the 49ers, -105. We're not even getting plus money because of how close these two teams and these two totals actually are. So I ask you this question, Joe Ranieri. Who do you think is going to be the highest scoring game of this week?
It's tough, Donnie, because we have seen both the Chiefs and the Eagles this year. They're both these teams averaging 28 points per game if they are facing teams that are averaging less points per game on the season. So obviously both these teams will be, both the Eagles and Chiefs, battling teams that weren't as prolific on offense. So we're looking at least 28 points from the Eagles and Chiefs if this trend continues. I mean, that's their season average here. But yet we've seen both these totals drop from the open. So the question is, I mean, for this purpose and this question, trying to figure out the highest scoring game and the highest scoring team here, the market is telling us, yeah, both these games are going to be even close to what you think they may be here. I would be more confident with the Eagles and that side being the more, shall we say, the higher scoring game, simply because I am not convinced yet, and I don't want to speculate what's going on with Patrick Mahomes. If he, Donnie, is 60%, how are we backing him in any sort of highest scoring anything here? Give me 100% Holmes, and no worries, then I think that game is a shootout and a lot of fun. But I can't. I mean, the Eagles, to me, are a more proven commodity heading into this week.
It is interesting because you're going to take a look at, again, both outdoor cities here. Colder temperatures anticipated in Kansas City than Philadelphia on Sunday compared to the afternoon and the night game here. One might be around 10 to 15 degrees. The other one, you know, maybe in the low 40s, which that is a big difference here. But it's also, when you look at Bengals Chiefs, you immediately go to Patrick Mahomes. And you're right. Next segment, we're going to see how healthy Patrick Mahomes will be and how effective he can be if he's not 100%. But you just look at Burrow versus Mahomes. You say to yourself, with those two defenses, again, they're not bad defenses by any stretch, but they're not the defenses that we're going to see in the 49ers-Eagles game. But also, from the same effect here, those two offenses between the San Francisco 49ers and Philadelphia Eagles, they're superstars across the board. Wide receivers, running backs, offensive linemen, tight ends. You can really get after it. And again, if you're talking about 45 degrees, no windy conditions and no rain, that's pretty good conditions here for scoring. And even though you have the two really good defenses, that could lead to turnovers, good field position. It can certainly play both ways. And also, two really good field goal kickers in that 49ers-San Francisco 49ers game as well. Mm-hmm. So let's flip it over to the opposite end here. How about this? The highest scoring team as opposed to game. If we're taking a look here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, the plus money, people. Plus 220 for the Eagles, plus 230 for the Bengals, plus 270 for the Kansas City Chiefs, and plus 350 for the 49ers. Taking a flyer on anybody outside of the Philadelphia Eagles here for you, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, it would be Kansas City, right? Because what if all of this is smoke and mirrors and, he's more than capable, 80% Mahomes, to be able to get around? Would it shock anybody if Kansas City goes out there and drops 30 on? No, it wouldn't shock me in the least bit. So this is probably the best value you're ever going to get, a Patrick Mahomes-led squad here in this kind of prop bet. The flyer would be on the, give me the Kansas City Chiefs to overperform what the market thinks they're going to get from Mahomes this week.
It's a good point you bring up, too, because Mahomes with the injury, let's just say Mahomes played all the way through against Jacksonville. You know, that 98-yard touchdown drive was Mahomes. He throws for close to 300 yards, a couple touchdown passes. You can probably have the Kansas City Chiefs at the top of that heap. Why? Because they'd also be favored in their game, which means they're supposed to have more points than the Cincinnati Bengals. So that little line shift there, indicative. And we're going to get some line shifts throughout the week, which is going to be fun to ask you where you think that line ends up, because today the players will get to the practice field. Any signs of Mahomes? Probably going to send it one way or another at that point here. How about lowest scoring team of the weekend here? The San Francisco 49ers plus 200. The Kansas City Chiefs plus 250. The Cincinnati Bengals at 3-1. And the Philadelphia Eagles at plus 320. Could the 49ers defense put the clamps on Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles? How about the Cincinnati Bengals? Joe Burrow's been, hey, you want to go toe-to-toe for me, I'll run it up to the 40s. But if not, we can keep this in the 20s. Any looks here on anybody outside of the 49ers who could be the lowest scoring team of the week?
Absolutely. It could be the Eagles in an absolute dogfight, right? That defense shows up and shows the play. We could see a ton of running in that game, not as much passing, right? So we could, from both defenses, I think, in Philadelphia and San Francisco here, I think both of those defenses are the ones capable of putting the clamps down on the other team's offense. But I wouldn't shy away from Cincinnati here being able to, a 60% Mahomes, limit what his possibility is depending on how healthy. So it's a tough one here. If Mahomes isn't 60% or better, if he is really, has no ability to be able to get out of the pocket, I don't know how that offense is going to roll long-term, especially against Lou Anarumo and that Cincinnati Bengals defense, who game plans to stop you. And, oh, by the way, they've done it three times already against Patrick Mahomes when he was healthy. What are they going to do against a 60, 70% Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because you're right. Those defenses, when you generally think about Cincinnati and Kansas City, it's all about the offense. The defenses have performed well, and I believe I saw a statistics on Kansas City, one of the fourth best pressure rate in football here. So that's always the key. Get to the good quarterbacks, move them off their spot, and see if you can make some hay there. So some interesting numbers all the way through here. Let's have some fun with some of these outside-the-box props here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. How about this one? any player to return a punt or kickoff for a touchdown in the two games on Championship Sunday. That's at a 6-1 price. So obviously a punt return, kick return here. We're not talking about special teams return, a interception return. It's got to be special teams. Thought process behind that, because it is hard. Nyheim Hines isn't playing this week. Tyreek Hill isn't back. And Turpin for the Dallas Cowboys, who seems like he's always the blink of an eye to take one back. Can we see a return touchdown this weekend, or do you think it may be a little bit too close to the vest in this one?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, at this point, and with the coaching staffs that we're working with here, they are probably not allowing any sort of risk-taking when it comes to punt returns or kickoffs and those types of things there. I do believe that special teams for all four of these teams will be and need to be on the top of their game. So I don't anticipate we're getting any sort of punt return, kick return here. Both all four punters, I believe, in fact, in these games here are pretty darn good. So I would not anticipate giving any team a chance to be able to, oops, they shanked one. They're going to run it back. Oops, wasn't supposed to kick it to them. Not buying it here. Now, I don't think the special teams is going to be the deciding factor in these games.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's either 6-1. I would need a little bit more of a price on that, even though, again, if you get two games here to get one of those, it's still hard, and it's very rare even to see punt when we're kickoff returns here in the playoffs. Let's take a look at the next one. Any non-quarterback to have one or more passing touchdowns is a 13-1 price. Now, you do have some really creative head coaches here and offensive game planners. I get that. But it's one of those where the stakes rise a little bit. I know in the Super Bowl, 15 years ago now, feels like Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, Antoine Randall-L throwing a touchdown pass, a quarterback from college. Yeah, it certainly can happen. We've seen other players throw passes and touchdown passes. But it just feels like to me, like if you do this as a coach in a close ball game, 14-14 third quarter, hey, we're in the red zone, let me have Deebo Samuel throw a touchdown pass or try it to George Kittle. It gets intercepted. That's one of those where you don't make it back to the plane once the game is over if you lose. What's your thoughts here on a non-quarterback to throw a touchdown pass? So anybody but a quarterback coming in 13-1 to throw one.
It's another one that I'd like to have a little better odds on that, Donnie. Tough. But the reality is you've got two coaches that – would not surprise me in the least bit. Andy Reid and Shanahan are exactly the coaches you would want for a prop like that, because if anybody can dial something up, especially if you have a hobbled Mahomes, expect trickeration to take center stage in these games.
You know, it's interesting on this one, too. Let me ask you a question on this, because I know we don't work for the sports books. It says non-quarterback. But let's just say like a Taysom Hill came in who wasn't the starting quarterback in the game and lined up at tight end through most of the game. Would he actually count as a quarterback in that spot here? Or even, how about this? A tailback lines up as quarterback, takes the shotgun, and throws a touchdown pass like Deebo Samuel would do. Would that be a quote-unquote quarterback because that's the position he took the snap from? What would your thoughts on that be? Probably not going to happen.
Yeah, no, I think it is. Yeah, no, I think this is, I've heard this answer before, and it has to do with anybody who does not line up under center or take the snap from center. That would be a non-quarterback.
There you go. Two more prop bets to take a look at, and also game show time. Maybe the last of the year? How about that one here? With the NFC Championship game, the AFC Championship game, where are the lines going? Both side and total. We're going to get to the bottom of it next. Keep the dial right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The prop bets here, and certainly where the lines end up on Championship Sunday this weekend. But some news coming out of the NFL, which is an interesting topic here. Offensive and defensive Rookie of the Year finalists. Three on offense and three on defense. Just want to start here quickly, Joe. On offense, Brock Purdy, quarterback of the 49ers. Jets wide receiver Garrett Wilson. And also Seattle Seahawks running back Kenneth Walker. Rookie of the Year for Joe Ranieri, offensive. Who is it?
Kenna Walker was a difference maker for that team, was he not? You know, they lost, what was it, Penny early on. They weren't sure. You know, we all scoffed at Seattle for drafting them when they did. We were all like, what are you doing? Like, you need so much more. Like, what are you grabbing a running back for, Pete Carroll? Well, it turns out he ended up, he was a big reason as to why that team was able to actually make it to the playoffs when everyone thought we were going to be dead last. So, I think he is, even though he didn't start the season off as a starter, I mean, that was the most valuable player to me on a team that that made the playoffs as a rookie. Yeah, no, I think Kenneth Walker is your offense, and being a Jet fan, you know where I'm going defensively.
Yep, absolutely. We're going to get to that in a second. By the way, Kenneth Walker, I guess, saved Pete Carroll's job and also made Mel Tucker a multi-millionaire up at Michigan State. That guy's worth his weight in gold. Defensively here, Sauce Gardner, the Jets, Lions defensive end Aiden Hutchinson, and Seahawks cornerback Tariq Woolen. So how about that? An offensive and a defensive guy there for Seattle. Seems pretty easy to me. Sauce Gardner not only might be the best rookie in the league, he might have been the best defensive player in the league this year.
That's correct. Yes, that's correct. And also it played on, he was a big reason as to why the Jets were a top 10 defense. No offense, Tariq, but you played in Seattle. And while they made the playoffs, it had nothing to do with the defense. It had everything to do with the offense, Kenneth Walker and Geno Smith. And by the way, Kenneth Walker probably just made Geno Smith a lot more money as well. So, yeah, to me, I think it's Sauce Gardner. When you are a shutdown corner as a rookie on a top-rated defense, that's a good thing because they wouldn't have been top-rated if they couldn't shut some teams down.
Yep, we'll find out February 9th at the NFL Honors Show right before the Super Bowl who actually gets those awards. All right, let's get back to the NFL. Big topics this weekend. Two quick props I want to go over. These ones are kind of fun here. Any offensive lineman, Joe Ranieri, to score a receiving touchdown, 30-1. The good old tackle-eligible play, which I actually think at 30-1 is a decent price. I'd rather take this than any non-quarterback to throw a touchdown at 13-1 and a punt return at 6-1. The tackle-eligible, do we see it this weekend?
I could not agree with you more here. At 30-1, absolutely worth a flyer, simply because, A, especially with Kansas City, because you got Mahomes a little bit hobbled. Everyone's going to be keying in on Kelsey. You're like, that is the Andy Reid special right there. You know, bring out one of those big 400-pound linemen and let him roll into the back of the end zone and nobody covers him. I think that's a 30-1. I'm with you there. Give me that. And it wouldn't shock me. Kansas City is a team I could see that doing that. Shanahan is absolutely a team. But I think Cincinnati sneakily, too, could also be one of those.
And the guy that would appreciate it most, right, Andy Reid being a former offensive lineman. Yeah, let me get the big boys some shine in this game. Hey, flip a touchdown pass to a wide-open guy out in the flat. We'll see if that does happen. How about this? Philly, anybody? A quarterback to have a receiving touchdown this weekend at 40-1. Let me tell you something right now, Joe. I'm going to preface this by saying, if San Francisco rolls out the Philly special and scores against the Eagles in this game, I don't know what I would do, to be quite honest. Could this happen where Shanahan, that wry smile on his face, goes, ha, you want to see this one? Philly, the opposite direction.
You and I both know that's a absolute possibility to what's going on.
Oh, my goodness.
Here. So it's absolutely a possibility for that to take place. So, yes, because that's exactly how Shanahan would stick it to everybody. So it's probably in the playbook. For all of these teams, I just can't see Mahomes running out there and getting it. So I do think you've got a pretty good opportunity with the 49ers of Philadelphia pulling some sort of trickeration there. Wouldn't it be great if Philadelphia ends up pulling it off yet again against the 49ers, who tend to over-pursue sometimes? So should be interesting.
Yeah, there's a statue outside the link there with Doug Peterson and Nick Foles right when they were calling the Philly special here. I assume there would be another one there of Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni if that was the case as well. Let's move it over to the games themselves here. Where do these lines end up? Two games, we're going to start with the sides themselves. The 49ers, the Philadelphia Eagles. Current line, 49ers getting 2.5. A legitimate chance that we see a 3 or by Sunday afternoon, two or less. Because to me, Joe, it feels like the minute it goes to three, it's snapping right back and bouncing back. I actually think, for me, it ends at 2.5. What do you think this weekend, 49ers-Eagles?
I don't see it getting to three. It may bump up to three, but it's not going to last long. So I think the markets have sort of settled down, although keep an eye on it now, because as the week goes on, the betting limits increase at sportsbook. So, you know, you're able to bet a heck of a lot more money later in the week than you are earlier in the week. But I think what we have seen at this particular point in the 49er and the Philadelphia game is we've seen the total come down from that big number there. And we've also seen Philadelphia get some money where it's been hovering around this 2.5 number. And here's the reality and the trick to this, guys. It doesn't matter what the number is. It never comes into a play in the NFL championship games, the conference championship games, since 1980. The NFL, the winner of the NFL championship games, right? The conference championships, 72-11-1 against the number. So guess what? It doesn't make a difference what it is. Whoever wins the game is going to cover whatever number you've got posted in there. They never let the winner always covers the spread in these championship games. Since 1980, 72-11-1, not getting in front of that there. So whoever you like, go ahead and lay it, because that's the way it's going to roll. The spread will not, even at three, it ain't coming into play, but I don't think it'll last that long at all. There is a huge group of people, I think, sitting back waiting to see just that. If that hits three, they'll hammer San Francisco, and then that'll just come right back down to 2.5. As it is, there are huge teaser opportunities, huge teaser opportunities with the 49ers.
No, absolutely, certainly driving it through that 7-point price point. But also, the only thing that would change, Christian McCaffrey's calf flares up here late in the week. Lane Johnson isn't able to get to the practice floor. Right. Jalen Hurts has a bad practice report. Some of those things here, because certainly, we're going to talk Cincinnati, Kansas City right now. Favorite right now, Cincinnati, minus 1.5 over the Chiefs. We've seen the Chiefs open up as favorites, but also keep in mind, a lot of this is how healthy you think Patrick Mahomes is going to be, and we're going to know a lot. Wednesday is the first day they're going to be on the practice field, Thursday and Friday. Question to you, Joe Ranieri. 1.5, not only will it stay around there, will Cincinnati close as the favorite here against the Chiefs come Sunday?
Yeah, I think it will. No matter what we're going to see here, we're probably going to see a limited Patrick Mahomes in practice, right, today, tomorrow. That word's going to get out. And this thing is going to continue, I think, to move towards Cincinnati at that particular point. Short of video popping out or people going, oh, my God, Mahomes is running around the field here. He's lighting everything. Yeah, no. And the number, no, this opened up. We were on air on Sunday night when the game ended. And the books opened, and it was a pick'em. I mean, it was a pick'em price. And then slowly, Kansas City took some early money because we weren't sure what the situation with Mahomes was. But as the days and the hours went by, that Cincinnati money kept coming in and getting us where we are. The intriguing thing is, Donnie, there was a point on Sunday where you could have teased Cincinnati to 7.5 and came back 24 hours later and teased Kansas City now to 7.5 and have quite the sevens there as a middle in this game. So there was a opportunity early on where Cincinnati was getting 1.5. And if you teased them up in any capacity, you have probably already teased Kansas City the same way. And just kind of sit back and enjoy the game. It's probably going to be a field goal anyway. I don't see it getting back towards KC unless something breaks that Mahomes, this whole thing, he's fine. He is close to 100% as possible, but I think the market is telling us, Donnie, that ain't the case here right now.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it was ripping and running from the start there. We'll also see how that affects the totals, which we're going to get to in a second here. Mm-hmm. San Francisco and Philadelphia first up here. Decent weather conditions in the city of brotherly love. 46.5. Are we moving higher or lower, in your opinion, by the time we get to Sunday?
It's done nothing but move lower. And I think that's kind of where we're going to be. I think 47 is the line. But again, we have seen, especially this time of year, and we've seen it over the last couple of weeks in the playoffs, there is a lot of money that comes in late on the totals, pushing it one way or the other, because the most of the people who influence lines, they kind of sit back with the total, Donnie. A, they want to make sure what's going on with the weather. Remember, it was supposed to be fine in Buffalo against Cincinnati. There wasn't going to be any weather. It was going to be fine. Then you wake up and you're like, oh, my God, it's snowing sideways here. All of a sudden, things aren't fine. So the weather is never quite what you think it is. And people, the public tends to overreact one way or the other when it comes to the total. But keep an eye on the total prior to kickoff here in both of these games. You will have a pretty good indicator as far as what the pros are going with, if whether or not they think this is going to be a higher scoring affair or if it's going to be a lower scoring affair, because it'll move a half a point one way or the other just before kickoff, Donnie.
47 degrees anticipated at kickoff here. No rain in the forecast and also winds under 10 miles an hour. So optimum chances there if it stays, again, if it stays at that level. Yeah. Cincinnati, Kansas City, opposite end of the spectrum here, late at night. Why? Take a look at this. 16 degrees at kickoff. No rain in the forecast. Winds around 10 miles an hour. It's going to be very cold, but obviously feeding into that, how healthy is Patrick Mahomes going to be? 47 and a half right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook. What are we looking at Sunday? Or is it so simple, Joe, we might just have to wait to see the practice reports and the final weather reports before making a sound decision here?
You will. You got so many different things going on with this game, and it all centers around the hint of whether Mahomes is good to go. And if he, you know, of course, he's good to go, but how effective is he going to be? And you've got groups on both sides battling each other. You've got the groups that think, yeah, he's going to be fine, and you got the other groups that think he's not. I will say this. Unders, 18-3 in the last 21 night games. Also, the under 19-4 in night games since December 1st this year. So the under is the trend, and I think the under is where this will continue to go.
Wild card weekend into championship weekend. It's been a fun playoff run. It's going to be decided on Sunday, and then we get 2 weeks to contemplate where the lines actually go for the Super Bowl. Yep. Man, time flies at this point. A championship will be crowned sooner than later. You know what I'm going to talk about next? Special healing powers.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the day here for a Wednesday morning on the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159, the early line. Joe Ranieri, thank him a lot for rising and grinding with us here over the past 2 hours, setting the table for the rest of your Sports Grid day, which will include Ben Stevens and the morning after coming up next. Talked over a lot of topics, college basketball, so much fun now at this point in the season, NBA rivalry week, and of course, where are we winding up on Championship Sunday with the NFC and the AFC? But certainly, obviously, you know I love the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to be cheering them on against the 49ers. But I think all eyes are on Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes because apparently he has special healing powers. Listen up. Patrick Mahomes, high ankle sprain, comes back into the game. I wouldn't say rescues the Kansas City Chiefs, but guides them to a victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Did you know in 2019 he also had a high ankle sprain week one against, you guessed it, the Jacksonville Jaguars? How did he finish that game? 25 of 33, 378 yards, and 3 touchdown passes. You say, okay, maybe adrenaline got the best of him there. He probably sat out the next week or two, didn't he? Absolutely did not. The following week, went on the road to take on the Oakland Raiders. That final score, 28-10. But look at Patrick Mahomes in that game, 1 week off of a high ankle sprain in 2019. 30 of 44 for 443, 4 touchdowns, and no interceptions. Well, he might have injured it again, right? How did he fare the following week? against the Baltimore Ravens. Another victory, 33-28, 27 of 37 for 374 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. I don't know how tough this guy actually is to be able to just be walking on a bad ankle, let alone doing that much damage. And oh yeah, how about the Kansas City faithful out there taking pictures of him with his trainer working out with ankle weights around his ankles here? Is Patrick Mahomes better because he got a high ankle sprain? You know that's not the case, but my goodness, Superman may appear on Sunday and get it done once again. Stay tuned to Ben Stevens here in the morning after. Coming up next, right here on The Grid.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.